Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a family reunion in old Mexico has a couple of unexpected visitors. Two bar employees decide to pick on the newbie, and even the bar ghost gets in on the joke. After a teen suicide, the surviving cousin begins to see the truth about what happened. And even the most scientific skeptic cannot explain what happened on a date night in an abandoned hospital. That sounds romantic.
For you and me, it would be.
It would be. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. And I got an update also on our haunt in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
The big old building.
Yes.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. So it kind of ties into hospital. And I even found more information on that building and just kind of the history of the construction.
Okay.
So interesting stuff.
Sure.
So that and more today at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to call in and share your real ghost story. Or you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And please and thank you for sharing the show, telling your friends about us, and letting everyone know. That's what helps grow our show. Thank you in advance for doing just that. Here's something that I could totally see coming into us as a letter had they these people not figured out exactly what happened.
Okay.
And it being one of those stories where, well, sometimes, bizarre as it may be, there may be a logical explanation, and it may not be something paranormal. Okay. Porcelain dolls, which I feel are creepy to begin with. Mm-hmm. Not everyone feels that way. I do. Left at 8 California homes resemble girls who live there.
Ooh, weird.
Yeah. Here's the full story, though.
Okay.
Okay. Because that's the reaction, you know, I think anyone would have, where it's like, did little Susie get a doll, too? And they're... Who left these things? Because mm-hmm. they weren't like new package. They weren't like American Girl dolls and, you know, sure. somebody did that. These are like, you know, ones you'd probably find in an antique store. But they resemble the little girls who live in these homes. This is from ABC 13. Orange County Sheriff's deputies identified the woman who anonymously left porcelain dolls on the doorsteps of at least 8 homes in San Clemente, California, and resembled the daughters of the families who lived in the home. The woman told the deputies that her daughters were getting older and didn't play with the dolls anymore, so she thought the other girls might want them. She meant the dolls to be an act of goodwill and intended them to be a kind gesture, sheriff's deputies reported. You know, this is really, you know, we live in a time where it's like, did some creepy man leave these?
Yeah.
It was just a mom.
Unfortunately, yes.
You know, and her, she was like, the dolls were left in the Telga community in San Clemente over the past week. Although no crime was committed, sheriff's investigations collected the dolls as evidence and worked with the families to find a connection between the homes. Investigators discovered that the woman who lived in the community attended church with many of the families. The woman admitted to the deputies that she had placed the porcelain dolls. No further investigation was expected. It's just a nice lady leaving the dolls.
It is. It's just strange if she knew most of the families that she chose to do it anonymously
mm-hmm.
and raise alarm. Because if somebody were to leave a doll on our front porch that resembled our girls,
I'd be creeped out.
Yeah, that tells me somebody's watching our girls.
Sure. And you're exactly right. And I see where at this day and age, why people would be creeped out.
Yeah.
That totally does make sense. And I'm guessing it was just, you know, an oversight mm-hmm. on the thought of the woman who left him. I'm sure she was just thinking, oh, my girls are, and I know these girls from church and we live in the neighborhood and we happen to have dolls that look like these girls. That's, you know, and I'm sure when you're growing up or, you know, or you have kids and you're, you know, you interact with these other families and stuff, you notice, oh, it's funny, that doll you have there looks like that kid, you know? And right. then when it's time to get rid of them, she probably had it in her mind for a while. Like, well, once my girls get old enough, I'm going to give these dolls to these girls. Mm-hmm. They'll really like that. And probably just thought, I don't want credit for it. I don't want to, you know, I don't want anybody. Because a lot of times I could see that being the thought process
yeah.
of, they're going to want to give me a check or a cake or something, sure. you know? And she just wanted to just leave them. But so anyway, depending on what was going on in the lives of those people at that time, you could either, you know, find it to be extremely creepy and there's somebody watching your children, or all the way to, you know, something paranormal.
Right.
You know, depending on what your life story is at that moment in time. But nope, that's all it was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could see somebody writing in saying this doll that resembles our daughter showed up and yeah. then you think weird things about the doll.
And, yeah, or then tied it to other events that were going yeah. on around them and somehow yeah. the doll was connected. And nope, it was just someone trying to do a good deed.
See, no good deed goes unpunished.
No, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. So I thought that was creepy and interesting all at the same time. So anyhow, not really a ghost story, but very much ties into a lot of the things we talk about on the show. And sometimes the ending of the story with how do you think that happened? Well, sometimes that's how that happened.
Yeah.
It's something as simple as that. Not all the time, but sometimes. And that's what we need to remember when we talk about ghost stories. Again, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. We'll kick off the show today with our first letter, and it comes into us from Claudia. And Claudia writes in, "Hi, Jenny and Tony. Thank you for reading my previous letter about the small boy in my friend's house. I wanted to tell you about something creepy that happened to me a few years back. I'm from Mexico, but I've lived in the States for most of my life now. My family and I live in Missouri. My dad has brothers and sisters that live in California, so we hardly get to see them. During the summer, we used to all go down to our house in central Mexico and vacation together, then go visit places around there. One day, we decided to take a one-day trip to a place called Pátzcuaro. Pátzcuaro?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's my best guess at it, and I'm sure I'm wrong. I apologize. It's a very old town, known because there's a tiny island in the middle of a big lake. It's a really neat historical town. Anyway, it was getting late in the day, so we decided to get a hotel room and just stay the night. My dad and uncles got rooms for everybody in the hotel that used to be a mansion owned by Spaniards when they had taken over Mexico. There were several of us there, so we had a few rooms. I stayed in a double room with my parents and my younger brother, who was about 11 at the time. My brother and I shared one queen-size bed. I was sleeping, lying on my side at the edge of the bed, when I woke up to what felt like someone lay in the bed right behind me. And I heard a soft, right by my ear, as if someone was tired and laid next to me. It freaked me out, but I just assumed it was my brother maybe rolling over, so I rolled over and looked, and he was fast asleep on the other edge of the bed. I thought maybe I just imagined it and went back to sleep. Later that night, I had a dream that my aunt, my mom, and I were in a room filled with antiques, and there was a woman wearing what looked like an 1800s black dress, the kind that had the long sleeves that came up to your neck. It looked like it had black lace, and she had a big black hat on, and I could not see her face, but she motioned with her hand for us to follow her to a side of the room that looked darker and couldn't tell where it went. It sort of kind of faded away in a strange way. I told my mom and aunt that we shouldn't, and she insisted. I said no, and I woke up. I thought it was creepy, so I told my mom about it the next morning. And to my surprise, she said that she dreamt basically the same thing. Being in a room full of antiques and a woman in a black dress and a big black hat. So we thought that was weird. Okay, there's a good example of a dream that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, okay, there's something clearly paranormal going on.
Mm-hmm.
Later that day, we all went out for lunch, and I heard my aunt on the other side of the table saying something about a dream she had of a woman in black with a big black hat, and I got goosebumps. My mom and I told her we both had the same dream also. Maybe it was a coincidence, maybe not. The way the woman looked in my dream was like La Catrina, which is part of folklore in Mexico, basically represents death. She's depicted dressed up in a fancy 1800s black dress and a hat, but she's all skeleton. So maybe that's what we dreamt about. Maybe not, but either way, we thought that was weird. Sorry for the super long story. I hope you liked it. You should visit Central Mexico sometime. It's filled with old historic towns that once were owned by Spaniards, and there are a lot of ghost stories, a lot of them of people who died fighting to get control back from the Spanish. I think you'd enjoy it. It's like you're going back in time. Anyway, I hope you like my story. I have several more. I'll write in again soon. Love your show. I listen to it all day at work.
I've seen that figure in art before, but I never knew what she represented.
Death.
So, well, it kind of makes sense, but I didn't know, you know, anything about it.
Sure.
So it's kind of neat for me to now understand what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so much more than just a dream story. That is definitely paranormal.
Now that you understand more about it, are you going to remove the mural from the walls of the girls' rooms that you painted?
Yeah, that's not even up. No.
We thought it was such a...
No, there's no murals.
I'm kidding. The only murals we have are of, like, trees and fields and little raccoons.
Yeah.
that's so cute and fun. There's nothing like that. So.
But it is funny you say that because that's where I saw it. That figure was in a mural.
In a mural, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Very interesting, and yes, that is a prime example of there that is not just a dream that spooked someone out or felt quote unquote so real. It was there's something going on when all three are having that. And what's interesting is the tie-in, and I don't really know how to tie it in, but where she heard that noise right before she went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting story. I don't know what it means. Y'all lived.
Yeah.
So. I think that I would be very paranoid that it was a sign of death, especially all three of them having it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be afraid to get in the car with three of them together thinking, what's going on? Why, you know?
Right. I don't know.
So maybe I still would be afraid to get in a car with all three of them. Maybe you shouldn't all get in a car together or any mode of transportation together for that matter. Anyway, thank you for writing in and sharing your story with us. James writes in, this is a story of coincidence or paranormal humor. When I worked at the George and Dragon Pub in Bucks, I and a fellow coworker were training a new member of staff, showing her how to do things, doing the norm. Then I and my coworker decided to wind her up about the ghost stories about the pub. We told her about the lady in red and the whistling chief and the phantom animals.
It's whistling chef.
I'm sorry, it's a chef. There's no I there. The whistling chef. I guess I was... you're talking about a pub, and I'm thinking Cheers, and I'm thinking the Indian chief right at the front of the building.
Okay.
The wooden Indian chief.
Okay.
So, that's where my mind was.
You just can't spell.
Well, I mean read?
Yeah.
I can't read either. All we told her about the whistling chef, how when you're in the kitchen alone, sometimes you can hear someone whistling the same tune. Unfortunately, I haven't heard it, but have had many people tell me about it. We could tell that she was freaked out and a little scared, so we suggested that she go make us some tea. She said she would only go if someone would go with her. So I said that I would. As we got to the kitchen door, she refused to go first, so I entered and she followed. We got to the kettle and she began talking about the ghosts. Suddenly we heard a loud bang and the lights go out, leaving the only light coming from the window in the door. She screamed and ran out of the kitchen and down to the bar. I then began to laugh with tears streaming down my face. I believe it was a ghost helping with the wind-up. If so, I love that ghost. I really enjoy your shows and will be an EPP come payday as I've ran out of the free shows. If possible, could you make more shows as I can't get enough? I love you both for what you do. Many thanks, James. Keep being spooky.
I like that. there's no such thing as just coincidence. That happened for a reason.
Yeah.
And it was just playing along. I think that's great.
I would totally be the ghost that, you know, I would love to be a ghost of a place that's known to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
When people talk about it like that, because I would totally help out.
Sure.
Be like, all right, somebody tell the story. Yeah. All right. And when this happens, all of a sudden the whistling starts going in the background. Who's doing that? I mean, although that may end up like deterring people from telling the story, because then you're really freaking out even them.
No, there'd be too many people that'd be like, if you go to this bar and you talk about the whistling will start and it'll be like a real true urban legend.
Real parlor tricks, but done by by a real ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. So thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. And to answer your question, can we do more show? We're doing as many shows as we possibly can.
We are.
We really, really are. Well, keeping the quality of them as good as we can deliver based on the stories that you guys are sending in to us. So you got, you know how we do our show now? You get the Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday, on Saturday, we release our EPP bonus episode. So 5 a week. And of course, when you're an EPP, that's what really goes to keep our show on the air. That's what's supporting those other 4 free days. So if you enjoy the 4 free days and you'd like those to continue, please consider throwing $5 in the kitty a month. And that helps us keep this thing going. And you get access to that extra episode every week and a whole boatload of other episodes from the past, too. So there's a lot up there for you. Daniela writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Danny from Colorado. I have a few ghost stories to share since my family comes from a history of Mexican witchcraft and a curse said to have been placed on the males of my mom's side of the family. I've always seemed to have premonition dreams. Usually they were nothing big, just predicting what my day at school would be like, down to what my teachers wore. Since nothing major ever came of it, I ignored it. In April of 2014, my distant cousin committed suicide at the young age of 13. We were never close. Last time I saw her, she was around 4 years old, but still, I helped my mom and the immediate family through it. Out of respect, we didn't press for details and never asked how she did the deed. That night, I had a very vivid dream. I dreamt I was at her funeral in the church. I spend most of my time in nothing. So nothing seemed out of place. I approached the casket, and there was my dead cousin, 4 years old, the last time I saw her, with the mark of a belt or a dog collar, just a bruise in that shape around her neck. She looked as if she had strangled herself. I asked my mom about it the next morning, and she said she would ask the family for details. Sure enough, the family confirmed the young girl had used the dog collar and leash to hang herself from the stairs. Like I said, we were never close. At her wake, I wore my Batman hoodie, like I did basically everywhere. As soon as her mom saw me, she broke out into tears. She was just like you, her mom told me. She loved comic books. She was tall and kind of chunky. Wow, she was just like you. I came to find out she was buried in a Batman costume, go figure. Sometimes I think maybe this is why my dead cousin told me. We never talked, but maybe she felt she could relate to me. Around that age, I also attempted what she succeeded in, going through depression and various other things. I asked her never to contact me again, and I've never had a dream about her again. I love the show. Thank you for putting on the podcast. Like I said, I have many more stories to share, including a few about the 12 porcelain dolls I own, and I am too stubborn to get rid of, and the demon haunting my little brother's room. Thank you again.
Well, if you want to get rid of 12 porcelain dolls, go find 12 little girls that look like those dolls and just anonymously deliver them.
I heard that works out well.
Yeah.
That doesn't make national news or anything.
No.
That'll work out to your benefit. Go try that.
But I'm wondering if the dream where she's shown how the cousin died, you know, if that was just to kind of confirm to her that what she's dreaming actually is more than just a dream. And also, I wonder if wearing that Batman hoodie, you know, whatever she felt the urge to wear that, why she felt the urge to wear that was supposed to be a message to the mom, mm-hmm. kind of from the other side.
like she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that message came through.
Yeah.
I could see that being the case there. It's interesting where they have the ability to see basically into the future a little bit, but never anything, for the most part, that seems to have a whole lot of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they finally found some meaning there in one thing.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Thank you for writing that into us. Connie writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Connie, and I live in a small town in southern Alabama. I've been listening to the show for several months, and I'm still binge listening as much as I can to catch up. I'm a proud EPP and spread the word about your show to anyone who will listen. I wrote in once before about my experience with the window unit's air conditioner as a preteen while I was home alone. Not sure if the story got read on the air or not because I'm still in the catch-up phase, but writing the story stirred up some long-forgotten memories that I would like to share. The first incident that came to mind happened when I was a sophomore in high school. To give a little history, my parents and I lived very close, practically next door to my grandmother, who I always called Granny. She and I were very close for as long as I can remember. I believe that we had a special bond from the very start. My mother was very ill after giving birth to me and almost died. She remained in the hospital for several weeks after I was released to go home. My mom insisted that my dad continued to work to help keep the family on track financially as best as he could. So Granny took the reins and took care of me until Mom got home and was able to take over. Mom said that when she did get home from the hospital, she would hold me in her arms and I would start crying and wouldn't stop until Granny came to the rescue. You get the picture. From the time I was an infant until I reached school age, I stayed with Granny during the day while Mom and Dad were at work. When I started school, I'd ride to the school bus to her house and spend all day with her during all school breaks and summer vacations. We remained close, but as things tend to go, as I got older and became a teenager, we weren't as close as we once were. I'd still go over to visit or call her on the phone, but not as much as I should have. Granny was getting older and began having some health problems, and hospital stays became a very regular thing. She had a couple of strokes and had become unable to speak. Though she was conscious and it was obvious she still knew who everyone was. I went to visit her in the hospital. She was in ICU. I told her that I loved her. And even though she was unable to speak, I know that she loved me too. I wanted to tell her I was sorry for not being a very good granddaughter lately, but I didn't. I can't tell you how many times I've wished that I would have said that. I never got to see her alive again. Within the next few days, Granny died. It had upset me so badly seeing her so weak and frail in the hospital that my parents thought it would be best that I didn't go back to visit. When I went in and got upset, it made her get upset, and that wasn't helping her health. Needless to say, I was completely devastated when I heard the news of her passing. I just wanted to see her one more time to tell her how sorry I was, but that wasn't going to happen. I was barely able to step foot into the funeral home to go to her viewing. My boyfriend at the time was with me, and my parents asked him to take me home because they were afraid I was going to pass out and get sick and cause a scene. I don't know. I was a mess. So the boyfriend takes me home, and we're sitting in my room. Everything was quiet. There were only the two of us in the house, along with my cat, Punk, who was quietly at my feet. There were no radios or televisions on. I was quietly crying while my boyfriend sat beside me, not knowing what to do, but being there for moral support. When the sound of a bell chiming broke the silence. I think both of us knew what was making the sound instantly, but couldn't really fathom what was actually happening. In the same room where the air conditioner incident happened, the room light next to my bedroom, my mom had stored an old manual typewriter. She had gotten it as a gift from her father when she was a little girl. It was a kind that had the little lever that you used to use as a return. I think the lever was actually called the return. Anyway, the bell would chime every time the lever was used, and that was the chiming sound that we were hearing. We heard it chime three times. The boyfriend, the cat, and I looked at each other wide-eyed. The boyfriend looked at me, and with all seriousness said, "It was the cat." Hearts racing, we got up slowly and carefully went to take a look into the next room. There sat the old typewriter, in the same place it always was in. There was nothing near it that could have touched it to make it chime. Nothing had fallen on it, and we were otherwise unable to explain it away. I really like to think that it was my granny saying goodbye, but I will never truly know. Thank you guys for everything that you do.
I know it's so cliche, but when I read this story, it made me think of every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't help but think maybe that was the message.
Every time a typewriter rings?
Well, it sounds like a bell on those old typewriters.
Sure. I was wondering if when they were going to walk in there, there'd be like a message.
I know. Typed. That would have been great. That would have been very scary, but that would have been great.
Mm-hmm. In a case like that, because we were talking about that yesterday, about, you know, when you have the Ouija board and you think you're talking to your dead relative, but you're never really quite sure. What if something like that happened and there was a message? And it was distinctly, you knew it was from grandma. It was something that only they would know or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, in cases like this, where the Ouija board's not being used, there's no like active attempt to conjure anything up. Can you ever be sure in a case like that, that in fact there is the grandma or something else?
I don't think you can ever be sure, especially in Connie's case, because she had that experience where the window unit air conditioner was running and it wasn't plugged in and it wasn't supposed to be holding a charge, and it really freaked her out. And there had been other instances around her home when she was younger. So I don't know. And that was while the grandmother was alive, because she actually went to the grandmother's house.
Okay.
So it's hard to say in her case, but I wouldn't trust that that's who it is.
The only way I would feel like it was maybe that person is if that was a message and nothing else happened.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my, and it would take some time. Only time would really tell if I would then feel, okay, yes, that was so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I'd try to interact with it. I think I would just leave it where it was. Like, okay, I got the message. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start to interact and more things start happening, then you really start to wonder. But if that's where it is, it's left. I think I could go in peace going, okay, that was them.
Sure.
You know, but that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be if more things kept going. And then the more that would happen, I think the more I would question it being that person that I thought it was.
Yeah.
So, interesting story. Thank you for writing in. And
oh, I do want to tell Connie, we did read her first story. And
okay.
I have no idea which episode it's on. I'm sorry.
Narrow it down there. It's got to be one of 300 some.
There you go.
Probably the last 100, right?
Yeah, probably so.
So, there you go. Just 100 hours of listening. You'll figure it out. Matt writes in, "Dear Tony and Jenny, love the show. Listen often. I do have a real ghost story to share. It's not as crazy as many of the stories I've heard so far on your entertaining program here, but it's real. Let me start somewhere else first, however, Tony. I believe you and I are somewhat kindred spirits. Like you, my default setting has always been set at a slight to medium creep level. I like reading in graveyards, listening to eerie ambient music in the background while I work or when I sleep. I've always been drawn to the supernatural. Like Jenny, I have an interest in most things considered paranormal, like aliens, Loch Ness, Sasquatch, etc. But ghosts have always been my main interest. I suppose it's because, with the exception of the possibility of alien life, ghosts always seem the most believable to me. Despite my fascination, however, I have always been a skeptic, first who wants to believe but has had a hard time doing so. As many of your listeners have stated in their stories, my encounter changed my perception of things, but I remain a skeptic to a large degree. I now believe that there are indeed forces or entities that exist that we do not understand. I truly believe that, in fact, I know it to be true. I can sum up my experience pretty quick. Years ago, I was with a friend and our respective girlfriends. We were checking out an abandoned hospital that had closed a few years before. There was a wing that housed the mentally ill back when it was open, and the place was rumored to be haunted. Of course, that was like catnip to me, so I talked everyone into going one night. Our girlfriends wouldn't go in. It was just my buddy and me. It's dark and spooky, but to be honest, I was more worried about crackheads. We explored for a while. There wasn't much of anything. A few chairs, some tables, and some trash and debris. Besides that, the place was empty. To try and freak ourselves out, and as a bit of a dare, we split up and explored desperately. I felt as if we were being watched, but it was in a creepy, old, closed-down hospital at night, so I figured it's par for the course. Other than the sensation of being watched, there was nothing I could describe as supernatural phenomenon. Then about 10 minutes into my solo exploration, I walked into a large common room or something. Upon entering the room, I was immediately aware of someone else in the room. I couldn't see anyone. I shined my light all over the room and nothing, but I could hear someone. Not someone talking or breathing or making loud footsteps, but just the normal, nondescript sounds a person makes while moving about. I could sense another person, but my light revealed nothing. I would have thought I would have had been terrified, but I wasn't. My mind, being a loyal and staunch follower of logic and science and the world as we think we know it, didn't allow me to jump to the ghost conclusion. I was confused more than anything. It was like I refused to believe there was no one there with me. The sounds this entity was making were so mundane, it was like being in a room with a coworker or family member who's just going about their business. And then I guess there were footsteps. I can't even remember, but this thing, whatever it was, started walking right towards me. I could hear it, sense it. Reflexively, I moved out of the way, and that's when I got hit in the face. Yep, the ghost socked me in the nose and mouth. My head flung back. There was numbness followed by pain, and there was blood. My lip was cut, and while my nose wasn't broken, it was bleeding. I just stood there for I don't know how long. My mind couldn't process what had just happened, I guess. I could still hear it moving around, and I hauled ass out of there. That's my ghost story. This incident changed my life. I was a grown man who was afraid to sleep at night or to be left alone. Even today, so many years later, I'll freak myself out if I dwell on it. I really just wanted to get your take on things. This thing punched me in the face, causing real physical damage. Is that something ghosts can do? And if they can do that, what's to stop one from pushing someone down the stairs or strangling them? This incident kind of scared me for life. I don't see how people can be haunted for years or see shadow men and go through the things they claim they have gone through and still function as sane, rational people. The skeptic in me says that much of what I hear on your show is probably bogus, but given what happened to me, how can I completely discount it either? Maybe I just don't want to believe it all. You guys have a pretty good hand on your shoulder. What do you think about all this? Sorry if I rambled on. Keep up the good work. The only reason I wrote in is because you guys have provided a safe platform for folks like me to share and ask questions. Thanks for that.
I think ghosts absolutely can do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They can scratch you. I personally have been touched by two separate entities, so I know that physical contact is not out of the question there. Now, I don't know that I've heard of it having enough force to sock somebody in the face, but that doesn't mean they can't do it. If they can scratch you, they can push you, which we've had people push downstairs
mm-hmm.
right in. I don't see why they couldn't just haul off and punch you.
Sure. To answer that question, yes,
mm-hmm.
it can indeed happen. And it also makes me wonder sometimes about, we hear so often of people, you know, who are in very dark places suffering from depression. And then a lot of times some of these things move in too.
Yeah.
You know, and basically latch on and attach and make life that much worse for them. And you have to wonder, you know, sometimes, you know, there's certainly, you know, mental illness out there, but you have to wonder sometimes if somebody's on the edge of doing something, like literally on the edge of a building
mm-hmm.
or something of that nature, because that's where they've ended up. How many times is it that they weren't the ones who decided to go over?
Something pushed them?
Yeah. Where something so dark, mm-hmm. you know, leads them there, you know, or not even, you know, that being the intent, you know, or maybe not even going to the suicide angle of things, but just how often is it where someone is pushed down the stairs or something like that happens and they land and they just think they tripped?
Yeah.
But something else was, in fact, actually the culprit there. I think there's more violence than meets the eye when it comes to the paranormal, depending on what it is. And I don't think it's always something demonic either. I think in some cases, you know, I think some of the scratching and that stuff gets to be into that realm. But I think sometimes the pushing, punching, that can just be a real ass soul.
I think so.
It's hard to tell, but yeah, it can certainly happen. So I don't think you're crazy. I think it's very much a possibility, and I understand the reservation and the apprehension and getting freaked out just thinking about it, because it opens up a whole other world of possibilities when you think that these sort of phenomena are possible. And it's much easier to think, it can't be real.
And thank you for writing in, because I think this is our first story where somebody was actually punched in the face.
I think it is.
And this may be the story that somebody else out there needed to hear to be like, okay, something happened to me like that. I'm not alone on that anymore.
That wasn't my friend turning around and punching me in the face.
No.
Yeah, it was really a ghost. So, yeah, thank you for sharing. And interesting story about going into the old hospital. We'll talk more about old hospitals here shortly on the show.
I'm ready to talk about it.
We have one more letter.
Okay.
One more letter.
Fine.
Right after these words. It's called a tease. Or you can always just fast forward, because you guys have that ability. It's completely up to you. But hey, it's another story, so what's that going to hurt? Laura writes in, "Hi guys, it's Laura. There was a time I lived with my cousins. Since I moved, there's strange things that would happen. Like people being pushed, hair pulling, strange noises that would be heard, and lights turning on and off. But the only ones who would experience this were me and my cousins. Our parents never believed us, but anywho. One night, my brother Pepe and I were in my cousin's room. I was watching TV, and Pepe was talking with our older cousin Christian, messing around with a broken helmet of his. I remember him putting it on, and Christian said that Pepe looked like a character from a video game. I grinned and said, 'Oh yeah, you do.' We all laughed later that night. We had to share the bedroom with my mom and my brother. We all had gotten comfortable, and we would let Christian know when to turn off the lights. He did, and they drifted off to sleep. It's late at night, and I couldn't sleep since it was too crowded, but I was facing the wall and turned to my mom's side when I noticed I saw a man. I looked to see if I was seeing things, because I was seeing the character from the video game we were talking about before. He was a scorpion from Mortal... Oh, he was Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, by the way. I was shocked because I was seeing this guy from a video game. He was looking at my brother, just staring. I was so scared he might do something, and I quickly shook Mother up to see if she sees what I was seeing. My mom had woken up but wasn't too pleased, and I quickly told her if she sees a man there, and she said no and go back to sleep. But I started panicking and started kicking my brother to wake up. He did and just said, 'What?' I pointed and yelled, 'Look, Scorpion is there. It's real.' He just shrugged it off and laid back down. But that's when the figure looked straight at me. Not at my brother anymore, but at me. We had eye contact, and I remember the glowing yellow eyes. I got chills at that point, screamed, 'Turn on the lights, he's looking at me. Mommy, turn them on.' Christian runs in and turns on the lights, and there was no one there. I was in complete tears and clinging to my mother. Everyone wasn't sure what happened that night, but they sure didn't believe me. Strange occurrences still happened today, and I'll have more I'd like to share. Hope you guys have some input on that. Did I really see a video game character come to life, or was I just imagining things, or was it something else manifesting itself to this character? I'm not sure. Thank you, guys. I haven't shared this to anyone because they'll think I'm crazy for seeing a video game character after we were just talking about it. Hope you guys share. I love the show, and I love listening to you guys while I draw. I sometimes I'll catch my brother listening in and would mumble things. It's funny because he's a real skeptic. Well, I rambled again. Bye now. I'll share another story soon. Bye.
I think it's C. I think it's something that's wanting to project itself as a character.
Scorpion wins. Fatality.
I mean, because it could have been something listening in on what they said prior, and they knew that they had knowledge of those characters and thought, watch this.
I have two perspectives on it. I get where you're coming from, mm-hmm. and I think that could be a possibility. Essentially, you know, if this is a sensitive person and they're picking up on something dark that's around, sometimes those things will, in fact, then take the form of something that's familiar, and it can be anything. It can be, you know, it could be My Little Pony, if, you know, that would freak you out.
Mm-hmm.
And if the intent is to scare you, and it knows for whatever reason that there's an innate fear in this person to Scorpion of Mortal Kombat, then that's the form it will take. However, around that age, I had a similar thing happen.
Is this the zombie thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it felt pretty damn real to me, too, at the time. And I was in hysterics. And to this day, I can still see it. It was, I had been watching Thriller so frequently. And then I thought one night when my mom said, okay, time to get ready for bed, I walked in the house and I could swear to God that in front of every doorway was a zombie from Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Just standing there, waiting for me. I was not on any drugs. I wasn't, you know, I was like, you know, 7 or so. Might have been even younger. And it was my mind so amped up on that thought that I was able to project that. I've never had that experience again, thank God, because it was pretty freaky. But I also don't look at that as a paranormal experience either. I look at it as a very active imagination and just getting pushed over the edge.
Okay.
Being a little kid. So I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, there was, sounds like there's some interaction going on here. Like the character moved. When I saw the stuff, it was just like still, it was there and then it was gone.
Okay.
But I swear to God, I saw it, but I know it wasn't really there.
Sure.
So I don't know.
It's hard to know.
It's very hard to know, especially with a young mind and what can happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what can be done. So interesting story nonetheless, though. So thank you so much for sharing it with us. We really, really do appreciate that. Okay. I want to share this photo, and I'm going to put it up on our gallery section at Real Ghost Stories Online so you can see it. This is a photo that actually a friend of ours posted up today on Facebook. They're house hunting right now. And he was a guest on our show, Ian.
Okay.
And he put it on Facebook earlier today because they're house hunting and they were just, you know, on the whatever realtor website, you know, here mm-hmm. and with the pictures of the houses. And he said, okay, is it just me or is there someone in the window of this house picture? And it's an interior shot. It is an addition to the home because the window goes from like a little den room into another living room where the window was at one point an exterior window.
Mm-hmm.
But you be the judge of this. It's pretty bizarre and pretty creepy. There's the picture right there. And it, like I said, when I put it up on the gallery section, you'll be able to identify it right away. It looks like there's a face and a bit of a body right there in the window looking out. And he said, well, if it was the realtor's reflection, number one, it's way too close to the window. And you, it doesn't appear to be that there's a camera being held up to take the photo in the reflection. Can I zoom in?
Yeah, can you zoom in on that?
In this program, probably not, but if I bring it over here, I can. Okay, there we go. Zoomed in. And as it zooms in, I think it gets even more distinct. What are your thoughts, Jenny Brewski?
It looks like it's too high to be the realtor.
It does.
Because in this picture, there's a step up. So the window is even higher than it would be, you know, on the same level where the realtor would be standing. So
it looks like it's coming from the other room. Uh-huh. Like someone standing behind the glass in the other room.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, based on the architectural details, mm-hmm. that this is an older home.
Yeah. So, it's a creepy photo.
I'd say Ian, don't buy that one unless you really, really want to.
Oh, and this is Ian, who has a track record of living in haunted homes.
Well, so he's sensitive.
So this may be the house for them.
I don't know.
This may be the sign they're looking for.
Wow.
So, and he was on a previous episode. I believe it was called A Haunted Life. If you want to hear his stories, you can look that up and listen. He's just tons of great ghost stories. And he's a radio person. He's a person who replaced me at the music radio station that I left, to do this show. Just a really nice guy. They're going to be staying in town for a while. So I'm happy about that. So it all worked out.
Yeah.
Interesting, creepy photo. This is one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. And I see these photos, you know, being posted up on, you know, Facebook all the time. And it's usually from some other website or something.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I brought this one to light was because I know who found it. I know where it came from. And this is just from an MLS.
Yeah.
I wonder how many realtor sites have ghost photos on them that are completely overlooked because nobody's looking for ghost photos. You know?
Yeah.
I just wonder how often that happens. If anyone's out there just hunting for that. Ghost hunting on realtor websites. That's what I do on Saturday night. You know?
Sure.
That would be a very safe way to ghost hunt.
I guess so.
Let's go look at this house. So anyway, it's a creepy photo. Check that out at their realghoststoriesonline.com. Okay. A little bit about the Traverse City State Hospital, which we've talked about several times now, is, you know, boutiques and assisted living and boutique restaurant shops and all that. It's in a very, very creepy building. We have a listener there who has been interested in looking into it. And they tell us that they're going to go on the tour, and it's not a ghost tour. In fact, kind of a frowned upon thing.
Okay.
I don't think they're wanting to be known for ghosts, or really for any of the other horrific things that have allegedly happened in that building over the course of a long period of time. But they do give tours of some sort, so they're still working on doing that. But they say, in the meantime, I've been digging around on my own. I've been finding out a bunch of stuff, like the priest who hung himself in the chapel, which is in a portion of the building, Building 50, that juts out in back. And the laundry building, presently, it houses coffee and wine shops. But when it was being refurbished, reportedly had the most active hauntings. Doors slamming, footsteps heard, along with voices. Supposedly, some workers were so spooked they walked off the job and never returned. Apparently, this is the most haunted place in Michigan.
You think?
A priest hanging in the chapel. It doesn't get any, like, worse when you get to, like, what's the horrible turn in the horror movie story. She referenced me to a website that has another story in it, and I want to read the story before we share it on the air. But it's an account from a little boy who was there. Apparently there was children here,
mm-hmm.
And she was unaware of that in the 70s, and an account of what life was like in there. So this is someone who's still around.
Yeah.
Who had lived life and got out at one point in time. So we'll talk about that at another point. She also sent some photos, and I'll add these photos too to our photo gallery so you can see what these are. She made it into one of the still abandoned buildings. She says she walks her dog around the grounds quite frequently,
mm-hmm.
and was near one of the buildings, and there was a workman at the entrance, and then it was open. It was the processing building for cattle at one point in time. And she just said, hey, can I just take a look around? Is that okay? And she went in, got some photos, and then got some evil stares from someone else who walked in and said, don't go downstairs. So she did it, and she got her photos and got out.
Okay.
But we got some photos from, like, one of the abandoned buildings.
Wow.
So I will post those up on our website as well so you guys can see. It is creepy stuff. Now, a little bit about the building itself. These are called Kirkbride buildings, okay? There's a, if you look at old asylums,
mm-hmm.
Across the world, really, you will see if they're still standing, or historical photos, they look somewhat similar. There's a reason for that. And here's there's actually a website all about Kirkbride buildings. The Kirkbride buildings were named after Dr. Thomas Story Kirkbride, a 19th century physician and asylum superintendent who authored a book on hospital design. Kirkbride's other work had a far-reaching influence on the construction of American insane asylums through much of the later half of the 19th century. Kirkbride buildings are most recognizably characterized by their somewhat unique batwing floor plan and their often lavish Victorian-era architecture. Their design was an attempt at creating a space to facilitate the return to sanity. The buildings were conceived by Dr. Kirkbride and his contemporaries as active participants in treating the mentally ill. So the thought process was the form of the building is going to help you get better.
Okay.
So he actually, there's a whole book on this, and on this website I'm looking at, so it's actually kirkbridebuildings.com. There's his book, and you can read it, and it's like the whole philosophy on how to build the building and why it will, you know. It's you know, some very, you know, archaic psychological, you know, talk. But beliefs of that point in time.
Okay.
But it explains why so many of these buildings look like this. It's because they were designed essentially like this. It's like a, who's the buildings that you can always...
Frank Lloyd Wright.
It's like a Frank Lloyd Wright type. I mean, these are obviously not Frank Lloyd Wright type buildings, but but same theory.
Signature architectural
style.
Yeah,
you look at it going, oh yeah, that's that. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see, you know, I would imagine some of the other asylums that we've had stories from are probably also in the same style because just so many were built in that era like this. So interesting stuff. I like finding like little tidbits. I just thought, you know, God knows who built this thing. Maybe they're just kind of the thing of the time, or they liked that style. No, there's a whole psychology behind it. It worked out really well because the building's not haunted or anything.
Yeah.
So interesting, interesting stuff. Thanks for all your stories today, guys. If you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. Support the show. Keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month, and you get all the bonus material. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.